You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chickentown, this is the Flopcast, episode 341.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, hello there, Kevin.
It's Thanksgiving week. Can you believe it?
I stopped cooking just to record this show.
Yeah,
I'm back into the kitchen with me. You know, it's where a cornflake belongs, is in the kitchen. That's what I always say.
We're heading into the holiday as this show comes out. And we have sort of a holiday-themed show today. Just not the holiday that that this is the week of. Because we do everything backwards and wrong around here, right? So that's
Nobody
the plan.
Nobody ever accused us of being timely.
So we will get to our holiday stuff very soon. Let's start, however, with National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
As this episode of the Flopcast is coming out, a celebrity is having a birthday.
Oh, you know, I always enjoy the celebrity birthday versions of Whatever Day.
We're talking about a 65th birthday for Kevin Nealon.
Kevin Nealon. Wow. All right.
Perhaps best known for Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
But I think I liked him best in the television show Weeds, which I followed for many years.
I never saw it.
That show was a very, very dark comedy.
That had one of the three name Mary actors on it, who I always get them all mixed up, like Mary something something.
Yes.
And yeah.
I can't remember her
name
either.
One of them. There's like nine of them.
I can see her face.
Yeah.
But I can't remember her name.
There's a three name Mary actor on that show. Whoever she was. She was also on The West Wing. Whoever she
exactly.
was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the show was.
But you liked that show.
Yes. So Weeds, the comedy in this dark comedy, was often brought on by Kevin Nealon's character, Doug Wilson. I don't remember whether I put him in our top 4.5 Wilson list.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Shame on me for forgetting Doug Wilson, probably.
There's just so many Wilsons.
My favorite character on Weeds, because he really brought the humor to that show. So do yourself a favor if you need a laugh. Go on YouTube and type in Doug Wilson banjo. And then just trust me.
All right.
Happy birthday, Kevin Nealon.
Yeah, he would have joined SNL in 86, I guess. But no, he wasn't a regular cast member at first. He was like a featured performer in his first year, I believe. But it was the same year that like Dana Carvey and Phil Hartman, Jan Hooks, when they all started. Nealon was part of that cast. And then he was there for a long time. He had a long run on SNL.
Well into the 90s.
Yeah, because he took over the news. When Dennis Miller left, Kevin Nealon was the Weekend Update anchor for a little bit.
I think he is probably my all-time favorite weekend anchor.
That's insane, but okay.
No, I'm sorry.
I like Kevin Nealon, but that was not the best Weekend Update anchor.
I liked him. I knew I was going to stir up some controversy by saying it, so I almost didn't bring it up.
Yeah, that's a bold statement.
It's true, especially when you've got Dennis Miller to compare him
to. Like him, but he'd be way down on my list. Now, these days, I would certainly prefer Kevin Nealon to Dennis. Dennis Miller has gone completely off the deep end.
That's true.
Kevin Nealon on SNL, he didn't have a lot of like regular characters, did he?
No.
He was kind of a utility guy. If they needed like a regular guy in a sketch, they used Kevin Nealon.
Yes.
He did a few, though. He was Tarzan.
He does. He makes a good deadpan humor.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he does make a good straight guy.
When they would do Tarzan, Tonto, and Frankenstein together, Kevin Nealon was Tarzan.
Yeah.
Along with Lovitz and Phil Hartman. They'd bring them out for the holidays, you know, have them sing holiday songs and stuff together. Tarzan, Tonto, and Frankenstein.
I had forgotten how festive that was.
Yeah. I feel like in the last few years, I'd hear him on podcasts. Once in a while, he'd pop up as a guest on some podcast here and there. And on Conan, he'd be a regular guest on Conan O'Brien. And always very good guest. I like him. He's tall.
And clever.
Tall and clever is what you need.
Exactly.
And then he did a commercial for some kind of medication a few years ago, and it freaked me out because it looked like a joke, but it was real.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Like he's riding around in a golf cart and just like talking about some kind of medication that he uses, you know, that improves his life. I don't know what it was, what kind of a condition he had, but it was like one of those real commercials for some medication, you know, like where they list the long list of side effects and things, you know, where the commercial.
And it wasn't a spoof.
No, but it completely looked like one because you're looking at Kevin Nealon.
They picked the wrong dude.
I'm sure it's a fine product, whatever it was, endorsed by Kevin Nealon, but it was very confusing to me because it looked like a commercial parody from 1991.
I don't remember this commercial. I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah, at one point I think Kevin Nealon held the record for the longest running cast member on SNL.
Longest stretch on the show.
Yeah, I think he had the record for a while there. That record has since been shattered by a few people, I think, including the current record holder is Kenan Thompson.
Oh.
Who's still on the show. He's just continuing to stretch out his record. At one time, that was Kevin Nealon's record. And a happy birthday, Kevin Nealon.
65 on November 18th.
Okay. Now, what we're here for today is for your movie project.
For November.
And I think you had this planned for a long time. You knew what your November movie was going to be.
Yes.
And this is a movie that came up certainly when we were doing the 90s movie game.
Because you were astonished that I had not seen this.
Yeah, because my movie, was this my favorite for 1993? It was certainly one of my favorites, if not my very favorite.
I know it was one of the three. I knew you could get points for it.
It was definitely in the running. And that was Nightmare Before Christmas. And was that the moment when I learned that you had not seen it?
Right, because I think you were anticipating a match on some level. And at which point I just said, I've never even seen it.
Yeah. I still have trouble believing that you haven't seen it. I've had a couple of years now to absorb this fact.
And yet, why would I lie about something like that?
And here we are today to remedy that huge problem of your never having seen Nightmare Before Christmas. I just don't get it. How this has happened. How this has gone on so long. But this is your year to make up for everything that you've missed.
I'm getting really good at sitting there and watching TV, let me tell you. Watching movies.
A little too good at it, perhaps.
I thought this was going to be much harder.
Yeah, it turns out it's really easy to flop over and watch stuff. That's what the rest of America learned about 60 years ago and counting.
But I would have never known unless I tried.
Yes. Well, you put in the effort to flop over and watch stuff. So your New Year's resolution was at least once a month, you're going to see a movie that you should have seen a long time ago. And this seemed seasonally appropriate. Nightmare Before Christmas, November, which lands right between the two holidays, which are covered by this wonderful movie. You don't know much about the story?
No.
Okay. Well, hang on for the ride of your life.
I think I've heard some of the music from it.
Sure. We have pizza pie in the next room. As usual for our movie nights, there's pizza.
I'm so excited about
the
pizza pie.
The pizza arrived over an hour ago, so we might have to zap it, reheat it, you know?
I was also supposed to arrive over an hour ago. My bad.
The pizza arrived at the exact time that you were supposed to arrive at the studio. I thought you might arrive together with the pizza, but the pizza got here first. We had a guy, delivery guy showed up, handed over the pies. All right, we're going to go get the pizza. We're going to start the movie. We're going to question every choice that we've made throughout the course of the day. Let's do this. We're going to watch Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. Okay, we're back. It only took you 25 years, but Cornflake just saw Nightmare Before Christmas. And normally we'd warn people or we'd suggest that you watch the movie too, and then we'll come back and talk about it, but everyone else in the world has already seen this movie.
Except me.
Many, many times. We're not going to spoil anything.
No spoilers.
Everybody knows the whole thing. So what'd you think?
I am still processing it. Mm. I don't think I've ever seen anything like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, this was special. I was so excited about this thing in 93 when it came out. I rushed out to see this thing. You took your time.
Right. Honestly, I didn't even catch any of the hype about it. So
you were like, I'm going to give this a quarter century and then see how I feel. Maybe I'll make the time for it.
I think it's fair to say that it holds up.
Oh, absolutely it does. I think Tim Burton came up with this story years and years earlier, like the early 80s, I think. And he was not the director. It's his story. He came up with the story, the characters. He designed the characters. But it was actually directed by Henry Selick. And Henry Selick directed James and the Giant Peach. He directed Coraline. done a lot of beautiful stop motion work over the years.
Yeah, there seemed to be a link to Coraline as I was watching this.
Yeah.
And for being a jovial holiday movie, it's really easy, I think, to relate to the characters and what they're going through. I couldn't help but feel bad for Sally, like, the whole movie.
Did you recognize her voice?
No.
Because you know the actor who played Sally, that was Catherine O'Hara.
Oh.
Who you would know from all the Christopher Guest movies, you know, Mitch and Mickey and Mighty Wind.
Yes. That they would get people who could sing for this movie makes sense. I never knew it was a musical. I knew that there were songs in it.
Sure.
That it's a musical.
They sing through the whole thing.
A surprise to me. A cool surprise. Who played the Oogie Woogie Man?
His name is Ken Page.
Okay.
And I know he is a singer, obviously. His big...
You can have pipes like that.
Big song and dance number. I don't know much of anything else about him except that that was his name. And I saw him at a convention once, and I didn't get a chance to speak to him. But just as I was walking by, I overheard him talking to some other people that were at his table. You know that he had that voice. Yeah, like that. Oh, yeah, that's that guy.
Booming voice.
Yeah. And that his big number towards the end was also very influenced by animation from the past, because that goes back to like the old Betty Boop cartoons from the 30s, I guess, or 40s, where like Cab Calloway and at least one or two of the Betty Boop cartoons had a big crazy song just like that in that style.
So there was that character Dr. Finkelstein who had created Sally.
Yes.
It's interesting to see who he creates in the end of the movie.
Kind of came up with a clone of himself.
Yeah.
His perfect match. Jack, the speaking voice of Jack Skellington was Chris Sarandon. The singing voice of Jack is Danny Elfman, who also wrote all the songs, all the music in it.
Danny Elfman singing the What's This Song, I think, has to be my favorite part of the movie.
You know, a weird thing about the What's This, Jack Running Around Christmas Town song is they've used that music, not the singing part, but just the instrumental I've heard used in a lot of movie trailers. Not for Nightmare Before Christmas, just for other movies. I think sometimes when they make trailers, they don't have the music ready that actually goes with the movie. So they would just dump in whatever music was available.
Candy?
And I would hear that music in several movie trailers years and years ago. Which is weird. Like even with the sleigh bells going in it. And not for Christmas movies, just regular movies. You would hear that music in the background of.
How unusual.
It's weird.
That is bizarre.
That happened several times that I noticed.
I love how he points out in Christmas Town, absolutely none of them are dead. That was my favorite line of that song. He's so delighted about that.
Yeah, that's such a big part of the charm of the movie is just how the Halloween people just don't get it.
Yep.
And so even they're so well-meaning, and yet they can't help but make everything creepy and disgusting.
Exactly. Even a big boa constrictor under the tree.
Did you pick out Paul Reubens' voice?
The mayor?
He's not the mayor. The mayor, I can't remember the name of the actor that does the mayor, but he was in Beetlejuice and Heathers, also the priest in Heathers.
Paul Reubens' voice.
Paul Reubens was one of the kids, Lock, Shock, and Barrel, the trick-or-treaters.
Oh.
He was one of them. And also the saxophone player, that little Halloween Town band.
Uh-huh.
Is definitely Paul Reubens.
I love how they're playing all the Christmas songs in a minor key.
Yes. I wish I could say Kevin Nealon was in this, but I don't think he is.
That's a shame.
Wouldn't that have tied things together nicely?
Any other big names in this movie?
I think we covered there is another name that you would know in this movie. The narration at the very beginning, there's a little introduction kind of poem that's spoken as they're panning across the holiday trees.
Mm-hmm.
That's Patrick Stewart.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that is cool.
It's kind of subtle. He's not really stewarding it up. Screaming, make it so, and Earl Grey tea. But that's Patrick Stewart.
Two goblins to beam up.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite character in this movie?
Wow. Maybe the Behemoth, which I only know his name because of the toys they made when the movie came out. But the Behemoth is the big guy, big bald dude in the overalls with the axe stuck in his head.
The axe in his head, yes.
And he only has like a couple of lines. He yells, "We did it," at the beginning. And when the Easter Bunny hops out of the bag, he says, "Bunny."
Bunny.
And I think those are his only lines in the movie. But yikes, that Behemoth is great. So many of those minor characters, they filled Halloween Town with so many wonderful monster characters and all the obvious ones, plus just a bunch of weird ones that aren't even instantly recognizable. I like the melting guy, the guy that's just his face is just perpetually
melting
dripping and melting off.
I liked Zero.
I thought you might like Zero, sure.
I was very fond of the ghost dog Zero.
The ghost of a dog, as Edie Brickell once said.
But Edie Brickell was not aware of too many things.
I think that the second Edie Brickell album was called Ghost of a Dog. They sold about 11 copies, one of which was to me. Yeah. But I think that was a year or two before this movie came out. So they might have stolen Zero from Edie Brickell and New Bohemians.
The nose on this dog,
yeah,
glowing the way it did, certainly did make for an interesting Rudolph parallel.
Yeah, and you could kind of see that coming.
Because, well, the dog, Zero, is kind of like part Rudolph, part Max from The Grinch.
Yes, yes.
And is a dog, and therefore it is a character that I'm going to love, and did. I liked the concept of each holiday having its own door on a tree.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked the turkey door.
There was a turkey door. We sure love turkeys around here. So yeah, we have to acknowledge the turkey door. Yeah, you kind of want to dive through all of those doors and see what's going on.
Especially the St. Patrick's door.
The Saracens at the Shamrock or St. Patrick's door.
I take it they're not going to make a children's movie for that one, though.
Can you imagine what's going on when you jump through that St. Patrick's Day door?
Lots of leprechauns and beer.
Look out.
Yeah, I thought the movie was really well done. As creepy as it was, I thought it was going to be creepier, so I was glad that wasn't.
You're expecting something dark, even darker.
Even darker.
Scarier.
Yes. And I think that's why I've avoided the movie all
these
years.
More nightmarish, as the title suggests.
It was actually pretty fun to watch Jack Skellington go from house to house as Santa Claus and freak everybody out on Christmas.
It occurred to me watching that I've seen at least two very different live versions of Nightmare Before Christmas over the years. Several years ago, I saw a Shadowcast version. This was at Aresia. And it was your buddy AJ's Shadowcast group, right? Tesseract Players?
Tesseract Players, yes.
I saw them do a live version of Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's really cool.
AJ was in it. I believe he was Oogie.
I can imagine AJ.
That makes sense. He was great. What I remember from that performance is the Easter Bunny scene when, you know, Lock, Shock, and Barrel, the three trick-or-treating kids, when they unbag the Easter Bunny. I love how they wear the masks. They have their Halloween masks, which just look exactly like their regular faces.
Yeah.
For one thing. They unbag what's supposed to be Santa, but they accidentally captured the Easter Bunny. In the live Shadowcast performance I was at, instead of the Easter Bunny, it was somebody in a chicken suit. I think that was a thing with the Tesseract Players, is they would have a chicken just in every show that they did.
Find a way to work a chicken into it.
So that they
it's because they know what we like. Another thing I got a great big chuckle out of is, after all these years, nobody ever told me that Jack Skellington thought Sandy Claus was a lobster. Big red lobster.
Yeah, that would have gotten you to the movie a little sooner.
I think you might have.
Some lobster talk. And there is a chicken in the movie as well.
I saw that.
That there's a skeleton rooster. As morning falls over Halloween Town, there is a screaming, crowing skeleton rooster.
Some of the lines that they just kind of slid into this movie, such as when the mayor needs Jack's opinion on something and says, come on, I'm a public official. I can't make any decisions for myself.
Yeah, that's the two-faced mayor.
Yes.
Which was great. Yeah, I love that guy. The other live version of Nightmare Before Christmas I saw just about a year ago, and we talked about it on the show, and that was that I went to a burlesque performance of Nightmare Before Christmas. Martha and I went last year. That was with a band called Walter Sickert and the Army of Broken Toys. And the front man of the band, Walter, I guess, I don't think that's his real name, but he was in a mayor costume, and he had a big head on top of his head that he could swing around with the two faces on it.
Now it all makes sense.
Yes. All right, so it's been 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time to remake this movie? Should we make our own new version?
I think about the fact that there are all those other doors that they didn't go into.
Right.
I could see there being a sequel.
I can't remember. Was there a tree with a picture of Kevin Nealon on it? You jump down to celebrate Kevin Nealon's birthday?
Afraid not.
That's a shame.
I wonder what other holiday Jack could get into. Labor Day, maybe. That'd make an exciting movie.
Labor Day. That'd be exciting. I'd miss that. I'd be a Dragon Con. But what if we're going to remake Nightmare Before Christmas, but we're only going to cast Brady's in it?
Mm.
Live action Nightmare Before Christmas. We're pulling all the actors from the Brady Bunch.
All right.
Let's do this.
I think...
Who's playing Jack?
Well, that has to be Mike Brady.
You're going with the head of the Brady household, Mike Brady?
Yes.
That's interesting. All right. He could pull that off. He did enjoy singing and dancing when they did the variety Brady Bunch series.
Very
true. He was no good at it, but he liked it.
Well, Jack Skellington was no good at Christmas either, was he?
Yep. So then Sally, we got to go Florence Henderson then.
Of course.
If we're going to pair them up. And she really could sing and dance.
Exactly.
That works.
The mayor could be Sam the Butcher.
Yes. Of course. That makes a lot of sense.
Zero would have to be played by Tiger. By default.
Yep.
I would think.
All right, what about Oogie?
Jan.
I guess we should go Eve Plum, Jan,
yeah.
Or Oogie. Yeah, because she's certainly the most frightening of the Bradys.
It's true.
Terrifying. Temperamental.
Well, she seems like she's the one most likely to have pessimistic streak.
Yeah, she's the one most likely to just want to destroy everything. All right, yeah, Eve Plum definitely. For Oogie, that's good. That Melting Man, how about Bobby can play the Melting Man?
Yes.
That's fine.
Then Lock, Stock, and Barrel.
Lock, Shock, and Barrel.
Lock, Shock, and Barrel.
Will all be played by Maureen McCormick.
Okay.
She can pull off all three roles all at the same time, I think. She's very talented.
They would just have to do some fancy camera tricks for that.
Yes.
And Dr. Finkelstein.
Dr. Finkelstein.
I'm voting for Greg on this one.
Greg? Yeah.
Out of all the kids, I can imagine that that's the one that Kara would most likely poison.
You sure? You're not really my son.
That was some Deadly Nightshade.
And who are we missing?
Cindy.
Cindy. Cindy will play the werewolf.
There we go.
Because she has that lisp, which makes her sound rather wolf-like.
Exactly.
That makes perfect sense. And who's left? Peter?
Peter. Peter could be Santa Claus.
Yes, of course. How could I forget Santa? Yeah, Peter could definitely be Santa. Because Peter has worn the fake mustache on the show when he pretended to be much older than he was.
My thoughts exactly.
So now, instead of the fake mustache to go on the double date with Greg, he can wear the full fake Santa beard.
And he's the only one I would count on to fix Christmas.
All right, that's good. That just leaves Oliver. So I guess Robbie Wrist, Cousin Oliver, will play the behemoth.
There you go.
You can do that.
You can't get much better than that. Oh, we didn't cast Alice.
Oh, yikes.
That's a notable oversight there.
The late, great Anne B. Davis. She needs a good part. What's left?
I would hate to make her the new Finkelstein girl.
But that's what we're doing.
Oh, okay.
Like a super quick cameo from Anne B. Davis at the very end. The new lookalike companion that Finkelstein rolls out at the end is only on screen for like 2 seconds. But that's Alice.
Long enough for me to judge.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. There's your perfect Brady cast for our remake of Nightmare Before Christmas, which I cannot believe you have not seen until just now, but I'm glad you finally did.
You feel like you were traveling in time a bit?
Well, no, because this movie's from 25 years ago, but it never went away for me. I've just loved it for the last 25 years. I think about it all the time. I was running around trying to buy all the toys when the movie came out, because they just put out some little like action figure type dolls, you know, just a handful of them. They didn't make every single little character back then. And I was scouring all the toy stores trying to find them all so I could have them all. I still have them.
Wow.
Just those original ones. Because at the time, I didn't know they're going to keep making Nightmare Before Christmas collectible stuff forever. Because there's a million things now. You know,
right.
Like they've made toys and statues and stuff of every single character down to the real minor obscure ones now. Well, this was probably, I think you picked the right month to see the movie.
Absolutely.
Again, sandwiched right between Halloween and Christmas. Here we are.
Because I could have watched it for Christmas, I guess.
Sure.
Because it's the Nightmare Before Christmas. But oh, we have special plans for December.
Have you decided upon a December movie?
Yes.
Oh, is it what I'm thinking of?
What
I suggested?
It is.
Oh, my. All right.
But we're going to keep you waiting. Waiting in suspense.
This will be interesting. Yeah, hang on for December.
Is interesting the word for it? Is it?
Terrifying and wrong. All right, so, Cornflick.
Thank you for introducing me to The Nightmare Before Christmas.
This is a wonderful classic that you should have seen a quarter century ago. And now it will be with you always.
Where you love the holiday special so much, I can see why this movie would have a special place in your heart.
All right, you did it. Nicely done. Let's wrap up.
Okay. So, on the internet, we are at flopcast.net. We're on Facebook, too. Facebook.com/flopcast. On Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast. And on Instagram, the_flopcast is our handle there.
All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody, to our American audience, which is most of you. You have big Thanksgiving plans?
Mostly to avoid the crowds with all the shopping.
A fantastic plan.
And eat some tasty things.
Yep. You? I'm always happy to avoid people as well. Always a solid plan. Well, I'm going to see Nikki's show. Nikki Luparelli's big annual Thanksgiving weekend David Bowie tribute shows are happening. Thanksgiving cool. weekend, you know, Black Friday and whatever you call it, Black Saturday.
Black Saturday.
So I will be going out to see Nikki's Bowie show Friday night. It might be sold out by the time this show comes out. If not, if you're around Boston, look into that, people. Hope to see you there.
Never hurts to check.
Absolutely. It's going to be a magical evening. And Cornflake, this is not Halloween.
Nope.
It's Kevin Nealon's birthday, the most magical day of the year. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
And I'm Tony Heath.
And we have a sneaking suspicion that you don't actually listen to these promos.
So we're not going to make you listen to one. Bye!
Brought to you by the Watchathon of Rassilon, a podcast where Joe and Tony watch all of Doctor Who and then talk to you about it.
Available on the ESO Network or wherever else you get podcasts from.
But honestly, where else would you go?
WatcherRassilon.com?
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Did you know the ESO Network has a brand new Patreon? That's right, we're asking for your help, and you could do it for as little as $1 a month. Don't fret, all your favorite shows will still be available for free as always, but you can get exclusive podcasts and more not heard anywhere else but on our Patreon. To sign for the ESO Network Patreon's easy. All you have to do is go to esopodcast.com and click on the link. With your support of the ESO Network, it's you who will reap the rewards.
All right, Cornflake, this is our Thanksgiving week spectacular secret after show.
Secret after show time.
Welcome.
Good to be here.
What's going on?
So, anybody who listens closely to the show might have noticed an error that I made a few weeks back when we were talking about Sheena Easton.
We never make errors on the Flopcast. What are you talking about? Oh, wait, that's all we do.
Right.
What did we do this time? We got something wrong about Sheena?
No, we got something wrong about Bruce Springsteen when we were talking about Sheena.
And okay.
By we, I mean me.
We did drift into some Springsteen talk.
Yes, because we were talking about how Sheena Easton worked with Prince.
Yes.
And during the concert that you were at, she did a cover of Nothing Compares to You.
Yes.
I said, I think the most stirring cover of that was what Bruce Springsteen did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked back and I realized, no, after the passing of Prince, it was Purple Rain that he covered.
Mm.
When you think about it, that makes a lot more sense than Bruce Springsteen singing Nothing Compares to You. But
I'm sure he could pull that off as well.
Now I'm just imagining Bruce Springsteen singing all the songs of Prince.
Yeah.
And
with the single tear coming down his eye, like Sinead.
Yes. And I think that's the tribute album the world needs right now.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine, with the holidays right around the corner, that in your Christmas stocking, the Boss
you
sings
want
the song of...
Springsteen sings Prince tribute album for
yes,
the holidays?
That's all I'm asking for.
That could probably be arranged. I'll make some calls.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.